Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin' sent you. Thank you. Hey, everyone, and thank you for joining us, and welcome back to the Globally Ballin' podcast. We appreciate your support and have a special interview and episode for you today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy learning about sports and opportunities around the world. Here comes the music. I gotta let you go.
He goes, I'll give you $750,000 a year to sign with us.
Without even showing off.
He goes, don't even walk over to the field.
Because I had no idea that my passport was even expired.
Let me tell you, I sent out 6,000 emails.
You don't know how to use a celebrity for good. You know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught how to use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, Jay, get me out.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over it.
You finished the game with a broken hand?
Yeah, I finished the game.
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
There are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey my last season.
Okay. So I'm currently looking at this list from American Football International, and it's the top 200 teams outside of the U.S. and Canada. And if while looking at the top 13, okay, there's really two countries that dominate that list. There is one outlier country in there, and that's the Swarco Raiders is at number 9 out of Austria. And we actually had a guest from there. We had Sean Shelton, who's the quarterback of the Raiders. But other than that, there are in the top 13, two of them are from Germany, and the other 10 are from Japan. If you're not familiar with football in Japan, this is something you need to start researching. You need to start looking into. We're going to give you as much information as we possibly can. We're going to bring you interviews as much as we can, but obviously we have a lot of other stuff we need to cover. A lot of other leagues, a lot of other countries, a lot of other opportunities. Take this time right now, if you're a football player, football fan, to mark down football in Japan. Start looking into it. It's a massive deal full of awesome opportunities that are out there. Now, obviously, the virus has made things a little confusing. That brings us to our guest. Our guest this week is Paul Boyette Jr. He played at Texas. He did go to the NFL, although he has a different angle to it. He was on a practice squad, and he did some training camp. So he's going to be able to get us some good insight on that, what that life was like playing on the practice squad, the mindset, the finances, that kind of stuff, which is great. And now he's looking towards the future to playing in Japan. He's signed, ready to go play in Japan. He hasn't gone yet, so keep that in mind. He is the first one to represent Japanese football on the show, and he hasn't been there yet. So we're kind of looking into the future together. He should be going there in August. That's what he'll say in the episode. That's the plan. Who knows what's going to happen? Hopefully that's what happens. But I want to leave you again, just reminding you, if you aren't familiar with football in Japan, if it's not something you've heard of, that's definitely something you're going to want to look into, because it's a whole new world that you could easily have never heard of before. So enjoy our interview this week with Paul Boyette Jr. Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team, the Louisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the basketball league, and through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Louisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around once again, keep an eye out for the Louisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you. Hello, is this Paul?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Good, man. Good to hear from you. I'm glad we could reach.
Oh, yes. My name is Paul Boyer Jr. I'm from Houston, Texas. I went to the University of Texas, played for 5 years there, went on, came out to the NFL draft in 2017, signed with the Oakland Raiders as a priority undrafted free agent, was on the practice squad for them for like the first 2 weeks of the 17 season, got cut, came back home, worked out for the Green Bay Packers in October, and I had another workout for Denver Broncos the week before Thanksgiving. Went up there, had a very good showing in front of John Elway. He gave me an opportunity, and I never came back home after the end, so I was with the Broncos. Right now, I got hurt. I got hurt in preseason in 19, hurt my elbow, and ever since then, you know, I've been just working. I work at a middle school in Humble, Texas, in my hometown at Wood Creek. I'm a behavior and special ed teacher, adaptive behavior teacher, and I do personal and performance specific sports training in my hometown.
Okay, Paul, so let's go step one here, going to play with the Raiders. And something, again, like I said, we normally stay away from the big leagues, but you have an angle to it that we haven't talked about, and that's practice team. What's the life like on the practice team in the NFL?
The life on the practice squad, it's fun, you know. It's difficult, you know that. You know, you want to be on the 53. You want to be on the active roster, and you want to be able to, you know, be out there playing with the guys that you practice with. You want to go up against the competition that you're playing. You've been practicing, you know, showing guys good looks that you're playing against, that you will be playing against. So, I mean, it's all a mindset. I think for me, what helped me was. When practice helped me a lot, because practice was a game for me, you know, going against the guys that I were on my team. So it got me better. It helped me slow down the game, you know, taking off different techniques and just looking up on cues from the offensive line, the quarterback, the different tendencies from the offensive line, the different type of runs, the zone action, the play action, stuff like that. So it can be stressful. But it's also, if you have the right mindset, you know, it can help you better your game. That's what it did for me.
How often, realistically, is somebody going from the practice squad to the roster?
It can happen any time. It just depends on somebody goes down and what position on the team needs more. I got a chance that I went up and down. I didn't ever actually play in a game, but I was on the active roster some games, and I got moved back down to the practice squad. So. No, I got a chance to suit up, but like, I never played so in the game. But like, you know, that's what I mean. Like, that's the mentality. What I'm saying, like, you have to be ready, and when your numbers call, you have to be ready to show up. So I mean, it's very, how can I say? You have to be very conscious. You know, you don't want to get your hopes up. Okay, well, this week I'm playing. This week I'm not playing. Okay, I'm getting cut this week. So it's you have to have a strong mental health, man. That's one thing I want to express to people about. You know. Everybody wants to go to the NFL, but like I tell you people all the time, man, like, you know, it's only 53 guys that suit up, you know, actually 46 of them actually play. So 46 drift, I'm sorry. But, you know, the other 7 people, like, you're on the active roster, but, you know, you don't drift. So, you know, like I said, like, you have to have a strong mental capacity, you know. Every week you really don't know. Some days, you know, when somebody wants to go down, you may be cut. They may send you home. They may keep you around to bring you back up to get, you know, to get you ready for the next week. So, like I said, man, you have to have a strong mental health. And that's why I said for me, like, I'd have been through so much over the last 3 years, man. Like, you know, from being cut, being brought up and down, being sent home, sent back for workouts. So, I mean, you got to love what you do. That's one thing I tell kids all the time that I train. Like, you have to love what you do.
How difficult is it to maintain that level of focus day in, day out? You know, if it's you're going into practice and it's been a couple of weeks and you go, you know what, this isn't going anywhere. I'm going to be a practice guy for life. How difficult is it to maintain and go, you got to keep trying every week. You never know what's going to happen.
I think for the most part, if you hone in and you actually apply yourself, and I mean by applying yourself, actually when you're in a meeting, the defensive meeting or your position meeting, don't slack off, you know, jot down your notes, understand what your opponent's doing. Because I know what helped me a lot, my defensive line coach, Bill Kolar, he was on my butt behind every time because he always told me, like, you never know what's going to happen. So you have to pay attention day in and day out. That's not even like, you know, you wake up at 7:30 in the morning, you got to be in the building before 9, eat breakfast again. You got meetings, you got team meetings. Even though that you won't be playing, they're still going to ask you, okay, draw defense up, tell me what everybody's doing. They want to make sure that you know your stuff, because at the end of the day, if anybody goes down, maybe 30 minutes before the game, I haven't seen it happen. Somebody gets hurt, you never know what happens. You get signed to the after roster, and now you got to go out there and play. So you want to be on your, you want to be cross your T's and dot your I's, that you know the playbook, and you're not going out there and getting the defense or getting yourself beat or getting your teammates exposed. So I think for me was just applying myself when I'm actually in the building and outside, and when I'm at my hotel room or my apartment where I was, you know, applying myself. Okay, I gotta study. Because you never know, somebody go down, it's next man up. So that's the way the NFL is, man. It's the next man up. That's why I said everybody all the time, the NFL is a business, you know. It's 1,200 people that's trying to come out every year. You know, it's a cesspool of people. It's a cycle. It's a trend. And you know, it's just next man up. You know what I mean? And you know, and so now you got grown men. I think that's how people feed their families. They take care of their family. So it's a job. You know, it's like I say, it's a dog eat dog world. You gotta be mentally strong. And I think for me, like being on practice squad, like it helped me a lot. Just understand, you know, everything's not gonna always go your way. You know, being a guy learning around like Khalil Mack, you know, Marshawn Lynch, and Khalil Mack and Derek Carr helped me out so much my rookie year, just showing me the ropes. Bruce Irvin, all those type guys helped me out so much, giving me the ABCs, the do nots, you know. So it's a learning curve, you know. When you come in, like I tell people all the time, you can't be a leader. You gotta be a good father, become a great leader. And I think that's for me, with this opportunity going to Japan, everything I've been through, like I feel like this is the best opportunity that ever happened.
So I think I got my answer just by listening to you already, but is there any sort of divide that you could feel between the guys on the roster and the guys on the practice squad?
No, not really. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I made some good money on practice squad, you know, like, you get cheap. Like, I think for me, like, I got so spoiled, you know, making, you know, almost, you know, between 7,500 to $12,000 every 2 weeks, you know, you get accustomed to that. Like, okay, well, all I got to do is go out here and practice, and 4 hours a day, go to work for 7 hours, and I got the rest of the day off, you know, for a week to get ready for a football game. You tell me that's all I got to do. So you get accustomed to those game tests. I know for me, like, when I actually, you know, when I got my injury settled and everything, you know, you get so accustomed, like, okay, well, you get back in the real world, you know, most of everybody is not making $7,500 to $1,000, you know, every 2 weeks or
not at all.
Time, you know. So for me, it was hard because, you know, I've been around it for almost 2 years. Like, okay, well, I've been accustomed to making this money. So like, oh, when you get a rental, when I got a job at school just for $1,000, that's nothing, you know. So for me, it was a learning curve because, you know, football, yeah, it's an entertainment business, and we in football, man, how I describe it is, it's a big social body. You know, in football, you put on this pedestal, especially in the NFL. Okay, you play professional football, man, you got all this money. And the thing about it is, you know, being on a practice squad, like, at the end of the day, like, if you look somebody up, they may say, oh, well, Paul, your contract is the same, you made $765,000, you know, last year. No, I didn't. You know, so people need to understand, like, life is hard for a professional athlete while you're in it, maintain your money, especially for me, like the taxes to the places I've been, you know, in Oakland. Like I was in a, you know, a 13% tax bracket, you know. So like, yeah, I may make 7,500, but I'm still taking that away, and I gotta pay an apartment, you know, that's 3,600 fully furnished, you know, so in a car note. So you gotta learn, you got these checks and balances, everything that you gotta do. And I know it's for me, it taught me, you know, especially being out of football for a year and a half, being out of professional football, it helped me manage money. It also taught me how to be more accountable within my own well-being. Like I said, man, it's such a learning curve, you know, because when you get in there, you're so excited because you've been praying, you've been dreaming about this day since you were a kid, playing Pee Wee football, little league, all the way to middle school to high school, then going to D1, playing on a bigger stage. So you just want to get your name called on the final contract to get there. But when you get there, you have to still prove yourself day in and day out, because I think that I can say, man, it's a business, man. Everybody's coming. Everybody's trying to one off somebody. Everybody's trying to come in and get their own. So I think for the most part, if I can help anybody else who's coming through this process, man, take care of your money. Just like Marshawn Lynch said, take care of your chicken, man. Like, you have to understand football not going to last long. That's, you know, that's the mission for the NFL. Not for long. So, you know, I've been blessed with, I have two uncles that are in the Professional Football Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, you know, Garland Boyette and Elvis Bethea, the Houston Lawyers. So, like, they showed me the ropes about, you know, okay, man, like, you got to put money aside for a rainy day. So, and you have to understand, you know, everything is not going to always go your way.
So, big proponent of hope's a wonderful thing, gets you through all these situations, but there, I feel like there's something to be said about getting your hopes up and worrying about what can happen when those all come crashing down. And I feel like after you've played in Oakland and you're getting these invites out to work out, some of them work out, some of them don't, how do you maintain that level of hope, making sure that you are staying focused, but you also realize that this might work out and it might not?
I think it's a cause and effect, the best way I can best explain it, because I mean, I know for me, like, you know, you put your body through, you put your body through hell to try to just get an opportunity to play the game that you love to doing, you know. Whereas me, like coming out of high school, you know, I was 4-star athlete, I had all these offers. And like I said, like, you each level, you got to keep working just to get an opportunity. And for me, the NFL taught me, like, at the end of the day, like, you can't take the game of football for granted. Because at the end of the day, one day you can be there, the next day you don't. I was that. And actually to be cut and you see somebody coming in and getting your locker, it's no harsher feeling than that when you feel like you've done more than enough to stay. You know, you have to fathom and swallow your man as a pride as a man, that you have to take that loss. But you know, it's a learning curve. And what I mean by being a learning curve, you have to keep applying yourself. Okay, well, did I do just enough? Did I just do enough to get by, or did I not go above beyond the meat to sell your own expectations for the team? And what I mean by that is, like, you have to set standards and goals every day to get better at small things. And once that happens, you apply yourself to little things, that's when everything starts progressing, everything starts taking off. And like I said, like, me being out of the league for a whole year and a half, man, I've learned myself. Like, you know, I went through mental depression, you know, because, you know, you've been working and busting your tail so long all your life to get this opportunity to play professional football and play at the highest level just to get an opportunity. And to be away from it, and, you know, wake up every morning and see guys that you played it or play against, like, they're living their dream. You know, you have to understand, like, everybody has their own process, their own journey. And for me, you know, it's been a long process for me, you know. You know, it's been days when I was happy, it's been days when I've been like, I don't want to talk to anybody. Sure. And I think through those tough times, because I know I'm not the only person that dealt with this or is dealing with this, you have to understand, you have to find key, you have to reinvent yourself and find your why. And I know it's for me, I have, you know, and I couldn't be more happy and excited because I know the journey of where I came from and where I've been and what I've been through and what I've been blessed with, man. It's so beautiful.
So I want to quick, I want to talk Japan, but before that, I want to quick say thanks for doing, being a teacher. That's awesome. We respect our teachers a whole lot on this show. So thanks a lot for all that. That's pretty cool. But let's talk Japan. When did you, first of all, what's the situation with Japan? I mean, you're going to go there. Is that as far as we know?
Yes, sir. I'm signed to deliver, baby. I'm signed to deliver. I got the Japanese opportunity via through just connections of working at my gym. One of the owner of my gym, Dan Hendricks, he works with I got that new personal trainer. Also partnered with a 707 pylon team, Texas Footwear Beagles, and one of the kids that put on our varsity team. His dad was a professional agent, football agent for 25 years. You know, okay. He worked with guys like Andre Johnson out of for Houston, Texas. Marshall Fox was his best friend. He represented him.
Wow.
You know, Bruce Isaac, all those guys. So he started a marketing department, firm called Red Pen, and I got to do that. It's like, man, I can tell you, man, it happened so fast, you know. Because you never understand, like, you know, you think because, you know, it's only the NFL, the CFL, and the XFL that, you know, that people in the NFL, you know, in the United States and North America really know about. Like, I didn't know that Japan had a football league.
Yes, Paul, you're something. Proving our point, man.
Like, I didn't know that at all, man. I didn't know it at all. But fun fact, I have my high school teammate. I played varsity football with for 3 years at Humble. Bryson Burns, he plays for the Challengers over there. And I have another friend played at UTSA, Les Murrow, who plays on the Challengers as well. So Tyrone Wilson is Bryson Burns' uncle. And I said, man, it's a small world. So when I talked to DB, Bryson Burns, he's like, man, I love it out here, man. You know, he played 4 years at University of Miami, Ohio, and you know he had a stint with the Rough Riders up there in Saskatchewan and CFL. So he told me, man, I came over here, man, I love it, and it was just like I say, man, it was word of mouth because fun fact is, so I had a free undrafted free agent workout and the first week of the new year, exactly 2020. And Fort Worth, Texas, at All Saints Episcopal High School for the College Gridiron Showcase. And it was the first ever padded workout for the All 13 Team Scouts. And even though the Gridiron Showcase is like, it's like an all-star game for, you know, the up-and-coming process in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And this is the first time putting together, you know, a workout for undrafted guys. Somebody could just online, defensive line. You know, and I showed up. I had a phenomenal showing. And, you know, I talked to some teams, I talked to Marco again, talked to Titans, talked to all that, you know, I spoke to some CFL teams. And, you know, I was going to go to Canada route. You know, Canada has been in my corner for the last year and a half, trying to get up there, you know, losing weight. But like I said, man, you know, it's depression in everything that you do, you know. Because, you know, I'm a big guy, you know, I'm you know, online on my website, they say I'm 6'1", I'm not 6'1", I'm 6'4". So I'm 6'4", you know, 3 points. I'm used to playing, you know, against big guys, you know, having to lose almost 30-some pounds just to get to 290, just to get an opportunity to play in Canada, you know. You have to be mentally focused, you know. Okay, man, I got to bust my butt to lose this weight. And for me, you know, it was hard, you know, having to be like, okay, man, I got 30 pounds, man. So I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do? So you have to apply yourself because at the end of the day, this is what you really want to do. You know, you're going to work your tail off day and night to do it. So at me, that happened, and come to find out, man, I don't have to tell no lie. Like, I really thought about, like, giving up on football, and you know, I thought, well, I'm gonna take this personal training stuff serious, you know, I might go into coaching, and I gotta tell you, man, God is so good, man. Just coming out, the guy Tyrone was coming out of the driveway, and the guy that he partnered with, Lake Rogers of Red Phoenix Marketing, said he's looking for defensive tackle guy for Japan, and he's like, man, I know the perfect guy, and it just went from there. I had a sit down meeting with them at their office in downtown Houston, and it just went from there, man. So my whole journey started with the H League getting to Japan, started probably in the beginning of February. Okay. It's been a long process, and you know, meeting people, you know, talking to people, using all these, like, foreign apps, you know, WhatsApp, line to talk to people.
Oh, yeah.
People being you know, 17 hours ahead, 15 hours ahead, you know, talking to teams, you know, they're asking for your resume because, you know, and just Japan, like, they're very big on education. You know, I double major at Texas, you know, so they like that, you know, I'm very intelligent. And it's been, I can tell you, man, you know, it's been a long practice, but I've really enjoyed it so much because, you know, when you've been down for a whole year and a half, you know, we're going to bring you and sign you. You know, you lose hope. And, you know, when people fall back in love with you and you know that you still can play football at a very high level, and, you know, you still can be the man, you know, you feel good about yourself. So, like I said, man, I think this Japan thing is the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, me also being the first foreign player to play on the team, you know, I took to this team because, like, I want to reinvent myself. And I also want to reinvent and brand, you know, all Mitsubishi Lions, you know, with being the first foreign player over there. And, like, I had a very good meeting with the defensive coordinator in March in Dallas when the Spring League played the Japan national team in Dallas. So I had a 7-on-7 tournament up there in Midlothian. So I went up there, did coaching. The next day I had a meeting with the defensive line coach, which was the coach that I'd be playing for that I signed with the Mitsubishi team. So I had a phenomenal meeting with them. So it went well, man. It's been going back and forth, man. It's been a long practice, a long journey, man.
So we've talked with football guys that, you know, we've done arena stuff, but as far as outside mm-hmm. of the U.S., we've talked Brazil and Austria for the most part. Mm-hmm. And really the talk around is outside of the U.S., some of the biggest leagues are Japan and Germany. There's other really big ones, but so I don't know how much you know about Japan, but we're still learning too on my end, but it's going to be a good time. I can tell you that right now.
Yes, sir. You know, looking this stuff up on YouTube, man, it's crazy, like, seeing their Super Bowl, man. There's a lot of people there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's to have more people there at our own Super Bowl here in there with Miami with the Chiefs and the 49ers. That was amazing to see. So, like, you can see, like, you know, their football, and also another reason why their fan base is growing, you know, football is growing in Japan, you know, and I want to be, like, one of the faces of the league, so... You know, I want to be able to bring more people over there like this to, you know, be woke, like, man, actually where to be. So that's one of the main reasons that why I'm going. So, and plus, you know, at the end of the day, like, I love to travel. Like, for me to be playing and living in Tokyo, like, I don't think it's going to be ever nothing, no great opportunity that.
Yeah, and that's the other part of we did this is because we realized that a lot of athletes, just like you said, don't really know about some of these opportunities, especially in certain leagues. Like football was a big one. We realized that a lot of guys were like NFL or bust, basically. But that's not the case at all. And then you talk about the fact that you're traveling. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get a spot to stay in Tokyo, play the game that you love, and get a paycheck for it. I mean, come on now. How's it get much better than that? It doesn't.
Exactly.
Is there any sort of news that you know of as far as the virus in Japan, or are they keeping no aware of that?
All they told me, like, you know, just to, you know, stay, you know, make sure I'm taking care of myself here, you know, everything is slowly to come back, starting to reopen in Japan.
Okay,
and, like,
it is.
You
okay.
know, I was supposed to actually, you know, the week of spring break, you know, to go out there and play with the guys, you know, on the screen. So when they shut everything down, they moved everything back to just the regular season. I'm not leaving now to the middle of July.
When is the schedule for the X League?
In August. The first game, I think, like the second week of August.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool.
So, but other than that, like, you know, they just told me, like, you know, they're like, when, you know, when everything came out yesterday, like, I didn't know, you know, the guy who's handling all my groundwork in Japan for me on the ground was Gino George. You know, he played for Fujitsu over there. No, he doesn't know. He told me, like, man, dude, like, these people love you, man. Like, you just don't understand. And, like, when I didn't know, I didn't expect, like, I would be trending in Europe and Asia like that, you know, when I got signed. So it was kind of like a big slap. I was like, oh my God, I'm getting all these friend requests, you know. I got almost like 150 friend requests that are still coming in from me. So, like, it's very still surprising, though. You know, my teammates reaching out to me, you know, the owners reaching out to me, like, you know, we're so excited to be here. We're very impressed, you know, we just can't wait to work with you, and we can't wait for you to come in and leave and follow your lead. So, you know, it's a blessing, and also, you know, it's a curse, too, because at the end of the day, like, you have so much pressure on you when you come in or something like this, but for me, I'm built for it because, you know, I played at the high level, you know, like I said, like, I at UP, man, we had our own network. I've been 2 head coaches, 4 defensive coordinators, 4 defensive line coaches, you know. I've been through it all, you know, so I'm built for this and know the peer pressure. So I think for me now, like, my mentality has changed so much, like, you know, when my back against the wall, like, I can stand on all my 10 toes, you know, I can lead and just be myself, and that's why I feel so comfortable.
Yeah, I usually stay away from talking college just because I'm going to get something wrong and then a listener will call me out. But I can confidently say that you playing at Texas has got to be one of the biggest stages and spotlights out there in football.
Oh, yes, sir. Most definitely. You know, I can see that long right there. Like, it is, you know, 1 week they love you, next week they don't like you. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and so that's got to be a great experience to have in your back going on to a new league. So, well, that's exciting. We're excited for you. We're going to definitely, now that we got somebody over there currently, we're not talking like looking in the past. We're actually going to have someone we talked with going there. That's going to be exciting to watch, Paul. We're excited for you, all right?
Thank you so much.
All right, you take it. Well, I will ask, is there anything else you think you should add to, I know you covered a lot of kind of the mindset of playing, but anything you think young football players out there should know about opportunities?
Oh, yes. Don't, at the end of the day, just be yourself. And don't turn down something that you feel like is, don't turn down an opportunity that you feel like is, you're going to be uncomfortable. Because my last year defensive line coach, Rick Hayter, always told me, and it helped me to this day, you got to learn to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. What I mean by that, like I say, you may have to leave and go play out wherever it is across the world just to make a living to take care of you, yourself, and your family. But at the end of the day, like I said, just for me, you're doing what you love to do, playing football. And that's what it's about, man. Whatever opportunity you are blessed with, whether it's D3, D2, D1, wherever, NIA school, it's an opportunity to play the game that you love. A full ride scholarship, an academic scholarship, is still an opportunity to play, do what you do. And I tell my athletes that I train with all the time, it's not all about, it's about going deep. It's about going to school and getting an education. Because at the end of the day, that basketball gonna stop bouncing, that baseball gonna stop swinging, and those kids gotta get hung up one day. And what do you have to fall back on? You know, at the end of the day, life goes on. And I know it's for me. I think for my journey, I can leave you guys with this. My journey, I feel like my piece for my time was up. And now I understand, you know. It's been preparing me for when the time is for me to hang up. I'm preparing myself for when it's time for everything to end. Right now, this last year and a half, and I think now, I'm not saying it's gonna end like in the next couple of years, maybe down the road. But I've set myself up, my life up to make a good, expensive amount of money and be well off, take care of my family, my mom, my kids, my next wife to be. You know, just I've been through so much to help me, so I'm excited, man.
Awesome, Paul. Good luck out there, all right? Stay safe, and we're going to be excited to watch you out there, okay?
Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, man. So our friends over at Inside Sport Japan sent me some material for this week's episode, so thank you to our friends over in Inside Sports Japan. Go follow them on Instagram at Inside Sport Japan. They sent me a list of the different imports that played in the Japan X League over the last, looks like year, last year. Yeah, it looks like this is 2019. Okay, I'm just gonna list off some colleges that I see, just so you get an idea of where these people are typically coming from. You have Marshall, Arizona, New Mexico State, Washington, San Diego, St. John's, UCLA, Arizona State, Texas A&M, UC Davis, Lehigh, Houston, Boise State, Colorado, Louisville, La Tech, Idaho, Iowa, Hawaii, Bryant, Jacksonville State, Gardner-Webb, Western Oregon, trying to find ones we haven't heard, Central Michigan, CSU Pueblo, Alabama State, let's do a few more, North Texas, Pacific U, Sacramento State, Florida, UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, Buffalo, Miami, Ohio, and we got a high school guy, Rich Central High School. Okay, now, in addition to that, I'm going to list you some of the positions these guys are in, because the cool thing about Japan is that it's not just a one import thing, or even really a two import thing. There's a couple of teams in here with several imports. It's not just a one or two, which means it's not just skilled positions. We talked with Sean and Austin. When it's like a one import league, I mean, you want to get a quarterback. But we talked to Shaq Wallen, who went and played in Brazil as a lineman. And so you do see leagues around the world that are able to have more than one, more than two. And so they're getting more than just a quarterback. So listen to some of these positions. We have a quarterback, running back, defensive end, linebacker, tight end, defensive end, lineman, quarterback, offensive lineman, two defensive backs. Don't want to repeat myself. Another quarterback. I'm skipping around a little bit. A cornerback, defensive tackle, wide receiver. I think a couple of offensive linemen again, a running back. So it's all over the place. It's all over the place. And that's great for any of you out there, because again, if you're not a quarterback, you still have a great chance. Now, Japanese football is top tier football. So, I mean, it's not for everyone. You need to make it. Sometimes we look down on any league that's not in the U.S., which is such a fool's thing to do. This is really good football in Japan. And so it's not for everyone. You might miss the mark on it. But the good news about it is, like I said, it's not just quarterbacks and running backs. Any position, you have a shot to go play in Japan. So that's awesome. If Japan interests you, send us a message. If you were especially intrigued by this episode, send us a message and we'll try to get as more information to you as possible. But until that happens, go and follow Inside Sport Japan on Instagram. But again, if that was something that was important and interesting to you, and maybe just completely mind-blowing to you, maybe you had absolutely no idea, let us know and we'll try to do whatever we can. Maybe it's working extra hard to get some extra material about football in Japan. Maybe we'll put some extra football in Japan stuff on our Patreon page, which you should go check out. Maybe we can do that, but at least message us so we know that the demand is there and we can work with it. I do remember, I'll end here, the reason why I even know anything about football in Japan is really where Globally Ballin' started, and that's, I'm a big Michigan fan, and Devin Gardner, when he graduated, I remember hearing, went to go, after some stuff in the NFL, ended up playing in Japan. I was like, well, I didn't even know there was football in Japan. So that right there just sparked something in my mind. I followed his story in Japan, and out of that came Globally Ballin' with some other stuff put together. But that was one of the seeds that was planted. So Devin, if you're ever listening, thanks, man. That being said, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you to our guest. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Inside Sport Japan. Thank you, all our sponsors. And thank you, listeners, for all your support. You're the reason we're able to do this. So be safe, stay healthy, and you'll hear from us again next week. Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through, and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram, at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter, at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted, either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content, and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally, though, is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ballin', you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that, you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually Also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're gonna get a bunch of extra content. It's gonna be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're gonna keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new, different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, Twitter at globallyballin, and Patreon, patreon.com/ search globallyballin, and you'll find, do the $3 a month patron if you're interested in get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week. Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team. The Lewisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the basketball league. And through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Lewisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around once again, keep an eye out for the Lewisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you.